Radio On The Go News.
With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa in the past week called on President Biden's administration to work on an infrastructure package that will improve Iowa's roads and bridges.
Our locks and dam system on the Mississippi, which takes our great agricultural products down south where it can be loaded on ships and exported to other countries. That's what Iowans think about when they think about infrastructure. But what we see with this new definition of infrastructure, the $2 trillion package that the Biden administration is pushing, is really a liberal wish list. It is grouping things together for big labor and providing them with big perks, as well as elements of the Green New Deal.
Ernst highlighted the bipartisan infrastructure package she helped pass out of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee in the last Congress as a good place to start.
We came out with a plan where Republicans and Democrats agreed on what infrastructure was. It was a very focused, targeted plan that worked for the American people, and it came out of committee unanimously. President Biden, I am urging you to go back, take a look at that bill, that starting point. Let's talk about what infrastructure actually is, and let's get back to bipartisanship.
Iowa's infrastructure received a C grade in the Biden administration state-by-state evaluation. The report says nearly 4,600 bridges and more than 400 miles of highway in the state are in poor condition. From midday Saturday through midday yesterday, the number of positive tests for COVID-19 in the Radio On The Go broadcast area increased by 32. Yesterday, the Iowa Department of Public Health's website reported three additional COVID-19 deaths in the state since midday Saturday. Since the pandemic began, 5,881 COVID-19-related deaths have been reported in the state. Over 340,600 recoveries from COVID-19 have been reported in the state to date, including an additional 16 recoveries in the broadcast area since midday Saturday. Yesterday morning, the Hampton Police Department arrested 30-year-old Lauren Johnson of Hampton on a warrant for failing to appear from the original charges of three counts of forgery. Johnson is being held at the Franklin County Law Enforcement Center. Last night, the Hardin County Sheriff's Office arrested 41-year-old Chad Cook of Indianola on a second offense OWI charge. Cook was released from custody today. Last night, the Hardin County Sheriff's Office arrested 42-year-old April Brandt of Tama for driving under suspension. Brandt was later released. Early yesterday morning, the Butler County Sheriff's Office arrested 47-year-old Christina Huber of Shellrock for a first offense OWI. Huber was later released. Saturday afternoon, the Sheffield Police Department arrested 46-year-old Virgil Lee Crines of Sheffield for domestic assault. He was later released. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Negg is dismissing a National Environmental Group's report that cited ag runoff in ranking Iowa's Raccoon River as one of the nation's most endangered rivers.
That so-called report was a bit of propaganda, I think. It was obviously a Washington, D.C.-based advocacy organization that they can go out and say what they want to, but what they talked about related to Iowa is not based in fact. We're moving in the right direction.
The American Rivers Report described the farm chemicals and manure that drain into the Raccoon River as a grave threat to using the river as a source for drinking water. Negg says there's recently been an acceleration of the voluntary nutrient reduction strategy state officials unveiled in 2013 to promote rather than require conservation practices on Iowa farms.
We got a long ways to go, and I don't sugarcoat that at all. The strategy calls for a 45% reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus loss off of Iowa farms, Iowa landscape. That's a big number, not easily achieved, going to take time and focus. But the evidence is moving in the right direction.
Almost 2 million acres of Iowa farmland is now planted with oats, rye, and other so-called cover crops that hold soils in place. Negg says it took 15 years to reconstruct 100 wetlands, and another 50 are currently under development. The number of filtration systems called bioreactors in Iowa will double after one project in Polk County is completed later this year. Meanwhile, the CEO of the drinking water system for 500,000 central Iowans says there will be a catastrophe if the state doesn't find a way to more quickly reduce ag pollution in the Raccoon River. NAICS says the Des Moines Water Works is providing safe drinking water now, and every indication is it will be able to do so in the future.
Last year, 2020, a year of unlike any other in terms of disruption to all of our lives, we set a record in terms of conservation adoption in the state of Iowa. Even in that environment, more farmers, more landowners, more focus, more resources, more partners doing more on the ground than at any other time in our state's history.
NAICS made his comments on the Iowa Press program, which aired over the weekend on Iowa PBS. Today, the Franklin County Board of Supervisors will review a resolution regarding a 28E agreement with Healthy Harvest in North Iowa and Homeward Incorporated. In other business, the Franklin supervisors will discuss a part-time temporary employee for the county auditor's office. Franklin County Board of Supervisors meet today at 8:30 this morning at the courthouse in Hampton. Today, the Wright County Board of Supervisors will review a resolution on creating a new fund called the American Rescue Plan of 2021. In other business, the Wright supervisors will review the Third Amendment of the Child Support County Staffing Contract between the Iowa Department of Human Services, Bureau of Collections, and the Webster County Political Subdivision. Wright County Board of Supervisors meet today at 9 o'clock this morning and will be available to the public via Zoom. Today, the Hancock County Board of Supervisors will discuss quotes received for remodeling of the bathrooms in the courthouse basement and will consider revised dental rates for the county's next fiscal year. And we'll discuss the generator for the courthouse and law enforcement center. Hancock County Board of Supervisors meet today beginning at 9 a.m. will be available to the public via electronic means. Today, the West Fork School Board will hold a public hearing on the 21-22 school year calendar. In other business, the West Fork Board will review the 21-22 master agreement with the West Fork Education Association and will review support staff and administrative contracts for the next school year. The West Fork School Board meets today beginning at 5 p.m. at the Sheffield Campus Library and will be available to the public via Zoom. Today, the Rudd-Rockford Marble Rock School Board will review a 28E agreement with Nashua Plainfield for sharing the superintendent position. In other business, the RRMR School Board will discuss staffing recommendations for 21-22 and will consider the purchase of a John Deere Gator for the school. The Rudd-Rockford Marble Rock School Board meets today at 5:30 p.m. at the boardroom in Rockford. Today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is a member of Hampton's Sesquicentennial Committee, Mardell Sidmore Van Cleek, who will discuss the plans for Hampton's 150th plus one celebration. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. Rainfall totals around the area in the past 24 hours. You can find the rainfall amounts by going online to RadioOnTheGo.com and looking under the Weather tab. We just have a few in for today. Charles City picking up 5/100ths of an inch, Clarion 1/100th, Mason City 3/100ths of an inch, and in Hampton at our studios 1/100ths of an inch of rain in the past 24 hours. The high in the past 24 hours here at our studios, 65, and the low of 32. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.